Kia ora and welcome back. And well, it's time for one of my favourite segments of the week. It's Thursday, so it's Martin's Thursday. Martin Pepperell is on the line. Good morning, Martin.
Morning. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
I'm okay, which I think, okay, basically, in 2022, okay means good.
Yeah.
Good means great, and
yeah.
Great means...
Great's a lie.
Oh, yeah, great. Great's fake news.
Anyway.
Great's fake news.
We've got a great song this morning. Now, tell us about it.
Okay, so this song comes from a compilation album called V4 Visions of Love and Androids, released by the Numero Group, which is a American label that do a lot of archiving and reissue work around 20th century music. And the thing, you know, is you start these sort of labels, maybe you start reissuing stuff from the 50s or 60s, and, you know, 20 years goes on, and suddenly, you know, you're reissuing stuff from the 80s or 90s, and, you know, at some point they'll be reissuing things from the 2020s. You know, as time marches on, you know, we reassess different periods of time. And something that a lot of people have been looking at a lot more closely over the last 5 years is a period of time in the UK in the late 80s and early 90s when there was a collision between styles and sounds. The main theme that this all starts off from is a thing called UK street soul, which was this phenomena that emerged. You had the soul generation who were raised on lovers rock, reggae, roots music, old soul and R&B records and sound system culture in the UK, who all came of age at the point when affordable home studio gear first became available.
Mm-hmm.
So suddenly you could get cheap four tracks, cheap keyboards. You know, every man and his dog was converting their spare room and their flat into a studio. You know, people were driving around the ends of trucks full of computers. You know, you could, someone would turn up and knock on the door and go, you want to buy a computer? You know, get a cheap Atari or a cheap Commodore or something. Some of these came with tracking software or programs. So this whole thing was happening. And people started playing around with samples. The whole sampling enters into the musical zeitgeist. Like, this is all as over in the US, people are starting to adapt disco rhythms and disco grooves into house music. You've got similar things happening in the UK with acid house, and a whole bunch of these people start making these stripped down loop based instrumentals, usually using like a real classic breakbeat. Everybody used was Ashley's Roach Clip from this group called the Soul Searchers, just this really nice groove that a whole generation fell in love with. I mean, a few years later, a whole generation falls in love with the Amen Break, which is the basis of Jungle. But so they're making these instrumentals, and everyone goes and gets, like, you know, their sister or their brother or the girl next door or someone down the road to come and sing over the top. So you have all these sort of amateur R&B and soul singers singing over these home studio recordings, and some of them turned out to be really, really good, you know. And some people clicked what was going on and set up record labels, and some people, because they'd come into this through such a do-it-themselves process, went, okay, well, maybe I should do the whole thing myself, you know. Maybe, okay, I'll go and figure out how to get the stuff mastered, I'll go and find a record pressing plant, I'll make the copies, I'll make the artwork myself, I'll put the records into boxes and get my friends to get on bicycles to ride around the stores and see who wants to take someone consignment. So this whole cottage industry emerges around the whole the UK street soul movement. And some of these records become like really big records, and different sound systems start asking producers and singers to do these things called a live PA, where you'd basically have a DAT tape of the instrumental. And you'd take it down there, and at the gig, you'd play it off the DAT player, and the vocalist would come out and sing the vocal live. And some of these people became like mini celebrities, you know, sort of mini, like, mini Beyoncés. And like the audience expanded from London and to like different parts of the UK, and people were touring. And V4 Visions, the label that released the song and the compilation the song comes from, they were right at the heart of this. But they were also they were paying attention to everything that was going on. You know, they knew about the Lovers Rock scene. They knew about the UK jazz funk scene. Like, they were looking at what was happening in street soul, reggae and hip-hop, New Jack Swing, because that was another thing too in some ways. Street soul was like almost like a UK equivalent to New Jack Swing, and then they were watching as things started happening, like House and Garage and Jungle, and they were tapped in with pirate radio. They figured out how to get the records to the DJs. They had the thing selling, and over the course of the early to mid 90s, they did a series of releases from these different artists, people like Julie Stapleton, Maureen Mason, Arshe, The Wades, Rohan Delano, Endangered Species, just a whole bunch of these beautiful records that went from street soul to New Jack Swing to early vocal house to early jungle to garage, before eventually, like, it's all these things too, they have their time, they have their run, life moves on, people move on, eventually everyone wraps up. But look, it's been about 30 years, people are looking back, and this compilation, the song is a pretty good like window into this compilation, V4 Visions of Love and Androids. And if you enjoy it, there's probably about 17 other songs on that compilation you'd probably enjoy. You can get it on Bandcamp if you want to get the record. I'm sure there'll be some, might be a copy down at Penny Lane or something like that.
Damn, 17 songs. I love when it's like a big album like that.
Kills more time. Compilations, you know? Compilations have a whole bunch of stuff. Yeah, so that's sort of like my diatribe.
Speaking of compilations, short answer could quite easily be no here. But I was just interested to know, like, from your perspective as, like, a musical journalist, is it easier to write about compilation albums, or is it harder?
I want to say it probably depends what the point of the compilation is.
Yeah, right, right.
I think the thing for me, a compilation is like a sampler. So the argument I'd make for a compilation is, if you do a compilation is probably a way to group together a bunch of artists.
Yep.
You know, around like a common story. Like maybe six new bands emerge in Christchurch this year and they're all playing great shows and they start making decent recordings, but no one's really ready to do an album.
Yeah.
There's an argument that comes that, you know, maybe someone should go, hey, you give me a song each. We'll put it all together and we'll make a compilation, you know, we'll chuck it up on Bandcamp, we'll put together some playlists on streaming, you know,
yeah,
maybe
right.
we'll make like some cassettes or press some records, and you know, suddenly like these six different groups have let's say you're lucky enough that you're able to make records, you know, or something, and suddenly like these six different groups are something they can sell at shows. You know, everyone has this thing, you can introduce people to what's going on with the new generation of bands, you've got a product that you can sell, you can put a story together around it. You can use it to shape the narrative. So I think that when there's a clear idea, it's pretty easy. But
yep.
The thing is, that's not always the case. Like, sometimes, like, there's a type of compilation people do, which is basically they just license a bunch of songs they really like.
Yeah.
So in some ways, it's almost like a mixtape. And, I mean, in some ways, like, that could be easy to write about. But it's also, like, a completely different thing. That's almost closer to like a DJ tool or something.
Right.
Like 20 tunes I think are really good. Like, you should get this so you get those. So long story short, maybe the question doesn't matter at all.
Yeah, maybe not. Anyway, I do think this compilation in particular is like, it's a great snapshot of a time in kind of music. And the particular song choice, Ashay, great choice. It's such a, like, I don't know, almost like comforting song.
Yeah, the whole street style thing, like, I mean, it's much like, this is one of the things I think when you really get into the Quiet Storm sort of side of soul and R&B, is, you know, you've got this emotional inwardness and insulousness, and the stuff can really be like almost like a blanket, you know?
Yeah,
the stuff that you can wrap yourself up in. And it's always nice to have a bit of that.
Yeah, well, hey, we need it these days, you know? It's a tough world out
Amen.
There.
Amen.
Anyway, Martin, thank you so much for your words of wisdom yet again. Have a fantastic day.
Yeah, you too. Have all the best. Enjoy yourselves out there. Take it easy.
Some wise words from a wise, wise man. Anyway, here is Dreaming by Ashe. Enjoy.
Just dream.